Hi, this is Roy Worley. Welcome to the interview show that brings on guests from all walks of life. Yeah, it's here that they tell their stories and delve a little deeper into their lives to see what got them where they are. So grab a drink, have a seat, and relax, because this is the Leo Effect.
When was the last time a short movie shook your emotions to the core? When was the last time a short movie caused you to rethink everything you stood for? When was the last time a short movie made you proud to be an American? When was the last time you felt the emotion to stand up and cheer after a short movie? The new short movie, I've Got Your Six, written and directed by Bill Foster, one of the industry's newest and fastest climbing directors, will answer all of those questions. Rarely has there been so much packed into a short movie that when you leave, you'll feel more proud of our American military veterans. A movie that was cast only with American military veterans will have you on the edge of your seat, cheering for our veterans and what makes America great. I've Got Your Six will be hitting the film festival scene soon. Be prepared to drop what you're doing and go see this powerful movie when it comes to your area. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Leo Effects. Now, tonight, I'm joined by a super awesome group. And that clip that you heard at the beginning of the show there is part of their song. And it's a song called Liar, which is from the High Strung Free Dance soundtrack. And we're going to talk about that. But we're also going to get to know the group themselves. So please allow me to welcome to the show tonight John and Nikki from the group, better known as Hooked Like Helen. How are you tonight?
Hello.
We are great. Thank you so much. We're super excited to do the show.
Awesome. I'm so glad that you're here. I have many questions. I require answers.
Okay. We'll try.
I think we're ready.
Well, we're going to kick this one off with the probably most formidable question that everybody probably asks you right off the bat. Hooked Like Helen. What's that mean? Where'd that come from?
So the name comes from, I kind of wish I had like a really exciting story behind it, but I don't. So I'm just going to tell you the truth. And it's that the reason that John and I actually met each other is because of a friend of mine named Helen. And she's a close family friend and someone that I've known for a long time. And it's, you know, John and I, we're a married couple and we have a child together on top of the fact that we also make music together and have made it our life. So it kind of felt like a bunch of coincidences ended up becoming like, you know, destiny for us. And so it's just a tribute to her and to that whole thing.
Okay. Well, that's a fair and beautiful answer. I mean, your group name right off the bat just, you know, is a homage to Helen. And I like that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I get Helen a lot, but that's okay. I don't mind it. It's a
that's
nice name.
True.
I get called Leo a lot, too. It's
right. That makes sense.
And so, John, is that your version of the story as well?
Actually, yes. Yeah. Yes. I do.
It's John approved.
Yes, it is. I can attest that that is the truth.
Perfect. And So you guys have been doing this for how long? Like, a year, 2 years, 10 years?
Well, we've been doing music our whole lives. We've been Hooked Like Helen as a pop duo for about 4 years. 2016 is when we first started, you know, putting stuff out on the internet. But we were in a band before that in LA together, which is how we met out there. Helen introduced me to the band, and you know, that was for a couple of years before that. So Hooked Like Helen since 2016.
Okay, that's cool. And you said you've been doing this your whole lives. Do both of you have separate, like, musical origins?
Yeah. John, do you want to field this?
Musical origins. I was just going to talk about how we played in the band together in L.A. Before we started Hooked Like Helen. And
Yeah. Go ahead.
And he was in a band in high school in, he grew up in Ohio, near Cleveland. So he was in a band in high school. So that was kind of his start into music. And I've played music, as a solo artist prior to all of that, since I was very young. I was like, I think 11 or 12 when I played my first like coffee house gig with my keyboard. And, it's just been something that's been a part of both of our lives forever. So.
Cool. And do you both have separate inspirations for being in music, or do you share a lot of commonality with that?
We have separate ones and we have shared ones, I think, for the most part.
I mean, it's something that we both have loved since we were young kids. So, you know, it's a passion that we would have even if we didn't have, you know, the awesome privilege of being able to make music what we do for a living. But as far as like our musical tastes and like artists that inspired us, it's a little bit of a variety. But I think we make it work. And I feel like you can hear in our music sort of like the blend of different influences.
Mm-hmm. And you really can. I mean, I was going to ask, but you kind of touched on it before a little bit, is how you would describe your sound.
Yes. I think, you know, it definitely falls under pop music and, you know, we call it alt pop and, you know, we're independent and we're not doing like, you know, super duper, you know, of the moment stuff, even though we do like to incorporate lots of modern production elements. But, I would say I would describe it as, pop music that sort of blends, you know, more, classical organic instrumentation with like modern electronic sounds.
There's some stringed instruments in there that are actually being played by humans.
Yeah.
Guitars and basses, stuff like that.
That's cool. That's really, really cool. I like that a lot. And I, like I said to you before we started recording, I really enjoy your music. So this is my little plug for you guys to the listeners. Definitely go check everything out. I've been binge listening to everything, if that's even a term.
So. Oh, thank you very much.
Absolutely. I like that. So I gotta ask, you were in this other band together first before Hooked Like Helen. What caused you to go off on your own?
So the band had actually been around for a few years, even before John or I were in it. John was in it for a year before I joined. They were called Red Circle Underground. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but kind of almost like a classic rock type of a vibe. And we had done like some touring and lots of playing in LA on Sunset Strip and everything. But, you know, I feel like there was a sense for everyone in the band that it was just sort of time for a new chapter in people's lives. John and I were the youngest people in the band and we'd been doing it for the least amount of time, but everyone was sort of getting fatigued on it. And then John and I found out that we were going to be having a baby. And so it just sort of felt like the right moment to just kind of say goodbye. And we had a really good, like, last show with them at the Viper Room and, you know, left on good terms. And we're still like lifelong friends with everybody. And, since we were, John and I were entering this new chapter of our lives where we were going to become, you know, real grown-ups and have a kid and everything, we decided to move back to his hometown, to Ohio. And when we did that, we were like, okay, well, just because we're, you know, onto this new phase of life doesn't mean that music stops for us. I mean, we don't even know how to not be musicians. So we just decided to start a brand new project.
Okay. That's respectable. And do you sing your songs to your baby as like lullabies?
Yes. And he's a little bit older now. He's listening and he doesn't like being called a baby. Yeah. He just looked over. But yes, we do. And he has just started taking piano lessons and loves it and loves singing along and playing along. And he'll let us know if we hit a wrong note.
Yeah. So is there going to be like a Partridge Family kind of thing going here soon?
Oh, maybe. Yes. That in the future. Maybe we'll add him on drums or something.
There you go. That'd be cool. I'd be in for that. Now, you had kind of talked about playing at a coffee house before on your little keyboard, and I kind of want to talk about your first, what you would consider official gigs.
Okay. Like ever in our lives?
Yeah. Like what would you consider your first real gig? Was it that coffee house or was there a time before that?
I would say the coffee house. I mean, it was more of like an open mic night, so I don't even know if that counts.
Yeah, that counts.
Yeah, okay, so then, yeah, that counts. I think I was 12. No, I think I was 11. And it was an original song that was actually not very good, but, you know, it had some potential. But I absolutely fell in love with, you know, connecting with the people that were there. And there were other kids involved, too. It was a kid-friendly event. And just, like, you know, people being like, wow, like, we should do music together. And, like, you should definitely keep doing this. And it was really fun. It was cool. John has a pretty cool first gig story.
Yeah, I was going to ask John next.
Yeah, I had a band. We were, I guess, what you would call an emo-ish rock band, right?
Oh, yeah.
Four-piece rock band.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all really good friends growing up. We were just out of high school. And the first gig that we had, it was a battle of the bands in Peabody's, a club called Peabody's in Cleveland, Ohio. Mm. we had to go through a few rounds. We made it. And finally, we got to the final round, and it was such a good memory for me because we had pretty much our whole high school come up there, and the club was just packed wall to wall, big crowd for what I would consider our first official gig. And we went on stage, and I have to say that we killed it, and we have a video of it, and it's like the best memory ever, I'd say.
Ever?
Right on.
Other than having a baby with my wife. I just got in trouble.
Cool memory, maybe?
It was
but tell them really who you rough. Lost to.
What's that?
Tell them who you lost to.
I don't even know. I can't remember. Do you remember?
Well, it was a Cranberries cover band. Yeah. And we feel like cover bands shouldn't win Battle of the Bands.
Yeah. So,
opinionated.
We lost. Yeah, I wasn't going to say we won. We lost. But it was still really, really fun and really good.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, having a cover band in a like a tournament like that is kind of like having somebody who traces a picture in an art show.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's like
weird.
Such a perfect analogy.
Yeah. It was one of those deals when you first start playing where it's like bring the most people, whoever makes the loudest noise type deal wins. And I think they had like five more people than we did or something.
Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, one of those 26 people ska bands.
Yeah, something like that. So, exactly.
It was definitely time for that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, you eight people, you're going to play the trumpet, you got the tuba, and we need a didgeridoo. Who can play a tube?
Exactly.
Oh, that's great, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it sounds like the both of you work really well together, and that's amazing for a duo like that. You know, a lot of times you hear these stories of where the husband and wife kind of, they get along about 90% of the time, and then little things happen like, oh, you forgot to take out the trash, and it just kind of sets the tone. Does that ever happen with you two?
I mean, yes, it does happen sometimes.
Not that much.
We do get along most of the time, but we are human, so we have those incidences. And, you know, I mean, bands get in band fights too, so we also have like that side of it where it's like a creative disagreement that occurs.
Right.
I think we're pretty good because we are so close and we're honest with each other that we don't let things fester. You know, we get to hash it out right then and there. And
yeah, we squash it real quick. There's
right.
No grudges.
No. Yeah, we get it because we got to go. I got to go make dinner for this guy now.
It's straight to your face. Straight to the face right away.
Perfect.
Here sometimes too, but yeah.
Yeah, I take out the trash.
He always takes the trash
and
out.
And I do laundry.
Nice. Well, talking about creative differences,
yes.
Like when you are creating a new song, what is your process? Like, does John start laying down a beat and you just kind of come up with the lyrics to go with it? Or do you come up with the lyrics first and then the music? Like, how does your process work together?
So usually all different ways, but I would say usually it is me that will come up with an idea. Like I do a lot of the songwriting from personal experience and just me with the piano kind of starting things and fleshing out, you know, the chord structure and the melody. And then pretty quickly after I get just kind of my basic idea of what the overall song is going to be, John will come in and then we'll kind of set the tone with the groove, because you know, he does play bass. He also plays guitar. So we'll make sure that we get that right. And then, you know, because we have a home studio where we track things, we can actually sort of track little demos as we go and kind of like listen back and put some layers on it and then like keep revising the song until we get it the way we want it.
Right on.
That's exactly, yeah, with the home recording studio.
It's a super helpful part of the process.
I think we realized that a little ways into starting that it was beneficial for us to keep working on a song and just try a lot of different things until we found the one that was right, that sticks.
Mm-hmm. And did you build the studio yourself or did you hire somebody to come do that?
So there wasn't a lot of building involved. It's actually a very humble setup. Mm-hmm. And the way we ended up getting it is also another kind of like a bit of destiny for us. I think that John had an uncle, Ben, who was a sound engineer up in Seattle, and he passed away tragically a few years ago before we started Hook Like Helen, and he willed us his Pro Tools setup, and it was like Pro Tools with an old
Inbox. It was his home setup.
Yeah, his home setup, not the one that he worked with professionally, but like just what he had at home for himself, and it was just Pro Tools with an Inbox and like two studio monitors, and we...
Microphone.
And a vocal mic, which is still the vocal mic that I use now. It's a AT4050, I think. But anyway, you know, John and I, having just moved here from California, we had been doing music our whole lives, but not recording ourselves at all. And so we didn't really know what to do, but we felt like, okay, we have this, like we most definitely need to take advantage of it. So we just slowly learned how to use it and have slowly been replacing elements as they've become obsolete, just with how quickly compatibility, you know, mm-hmm. issues occur. Like I was like, oh, I don't want to get rid of that Inbox, but I had to. And yeah, it's still very small. There's not a lot to our studio, but it works for us.
You know, that's all that matters, as long as it works for you. And obviously you're putting out quality music, so you can't complain.
Thank you. Yeah. Technology.
Is there a particular artist that you'd really like to do a collaboration with sometime?
Oh,
that's a good question.
Yeah, I would say
a ton of them.
21 Pilots.
Oh, man. Yeah, that'd be good.
I just think they're so good. We saw them live and they're just fantastic. Also, the composer from the movie that we have our music in, like the actual score composer, Nathan Lanier, he ended up arranging the orchestral section that's in the very final chorus of Liar. And we were blown away with it. And I think we were blown away with all of his music in the film and his work. And we think it'd actually be pretty cool to maybe work with him again.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, there you go. This sounds like you got it figured out.
Yep. He doesn't know it yet, but
I'm sure, you know, given what you've already done together, he would probably be very interested in that, I would say.
Well, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be.
So what do you think you would be doing if music hadn't have worked out for you? If you had of, let's say you had of gone to that coffee shop and you played Smelly Cat and that was the end of your musical journey. And John, you're up on that stage and you got booed so hard you never picked up a musical instrument again. Where would you be right now?
Ouch.
Wow, that's so crazy. I like never really thought about that. I mean, I guess I have a little bit, but something that I always thought that I might have like a knack for would be becoming like an interventionist for like addiction. I think
that's so much better than my answer.
I think that I'd want to be like
such a loser.
I'd want to be like helping people, and you know, I have some experience with all of that kind of stuff and recovery, and I think I would totally go to school for that and then like go work at like a rehab center.
Wow.
What's your
wow. I was going to say hanging out in the garage with a couple buddies.
Oh, no. I'm so glad music saved you.
I think I'd be in the same boat as John, I'm going to say.
Yeah. The radio couple, tall boys, and hanging out in the garage, probably.
Okay.
Well, that's fun. Yeah. All right, then.
I think that's the truth.
Do either of you have kind of like what you would consider a useless talent? Like, can you throw cards or juggle or, I don't know, breathe fire?
I can ride a bike backwards and fall.
He can be a, that's pretty funny. That'll make me laugh.
I was trying to think. Weird talent for you.
No, because I don't want to do any of them.
If I had one, I would tell you, but I wish I did. I don't.
Yeah, sometimes I can do like voices, but I don't want to
really
do them. So.
She's really good at that. She's good at impressions. Real good.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm not going to hound you to do one, but
you're the nicest person ever.
But, you know, I need to, like, think about that and come up with something else.
Well, I wouldn't subject you to that, but, I mean, maybe sooner or later you'll feel like doing that on a show.
Yes, maybe.
Hone one in and be ready for it.
Right. So what's the most trouble you guys have gotten into? You know, like, have you ever been somewhere and, you know, you're doing the classic rocker thing and throwing TVs out of hotel windows and setting beds on fire?
So for that answer, we would have to rewind time and go back to our time in LA because, you know, since we've been grown-ups, we've been pretty respectful. I think with the Took Like Helen project, we've been, like, pretty low-key.
We did a smash party in LA.
Yeah, that was fun. Oh my gosh. Okay, so our old band played. Have you ever heard of a smash party?
I have not. I was going to ask what that even means.
So okay. I don't even know if anybody does this anymore.
Real quick. It was put on by the people who did that cartoon Metalocalypse.
Oh, no, yeah. Metalocalypse.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever film studio or animation studio that was, were the people that were throwing this party.
For themselves, so like for their staff. It was a staff party, and they made it a smash party to where they had live bands play. So that's where we come in. We play live band music as the entertainment. And then everybody on the staff who's an attendee of the party can bring an object to smash. And they had this giant cage, and they've got protective gear and sledgehammers and one-on-one, you just go in there and just beat the heck out of whatever thing it was that you wanted to bring. Like some people brought like, you know, all in one, like copy machines and,
old televisions, everything. Yeah. They had like organs there. I don't know, just anything.
Yeah, and they told the band that we could, if we wanted to bring something to smash after we played, we could. But because the line was so long, when we were done playing, it was like they were done smashing. But we had brought, like, our old musical equipment, so we ended up just smashing it in the streets, and we got yelled at.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, pretty bad. We walked out with our
keyboard and
smashed it right in the middle of the street.
Oh, jeez.
Sure, though.
Yeah, it felt good. It was a good one.
That sounds awesome. And I mean, I liked y'all before, but now that I know that you had dealings with Metalocalypse and, Death Clock, like I like you even more.
Yeah, no, that was rock and roll. I can't remember how we got.
How we got that gig. But
that's who it was. That's definitely who it was.
That's so cool. And I hope that, you know, by who they were, when you say organs, you mean musical instruments, not like body parts.
Yeah, no. Not body parts. Fancy.
No, I know why I said that.
Did you say fancy?
Yeah, that'd be really expensive.
Gosh.
That's great. That's so great. So have you all done like any kind of like tours since you've started Hooked Like Helen?
So
that's where we're going.
The thing with Hooked Like Helen is that we started out with being primarily a studio project, and we were, you know, us having a young child, we were, and being in Cleveland, we were focused on like getting TV and film placements. And, you know, we did the Kardashians and Bad Girls Club and Nashville and things like that. And like some MTV docuseries and stuff. And then once like things started really rolling with with, you know, being involved in High Strung Free Dance and having the music video and everything, we were like, okay, let's like actually be like
a band
and fill in this missing piece, which is live. And so we got everything together. We played a really fun show in Hollywood. And then we booked a bunch of shows for, you know, around our area regionally. And the night before we were supposed to play this really cool club in Cleveland,
COVID got for
real. The pandemic happened and we had to cancel. And we've had to cancel several other shows since. But we did get to do some live streams that were really cool and fun. And we were able to at least get some video of that and put it up, you know, like completely live, just like the soundboard recordings. The last one we did was at the Sandusky State Theater, which is like this beautiful old historic theater. It's like 1,500 seats. And, you know, they live streamed it through the local newspaper. And it was a lot of fun, but it was definitely not the same as playing live. We missed the audience interaction for sure.
Absolutely. Well, here's an idea for you. On your first show, when we come out of this and you're able to play again, get you a bunch of like plates and cups and things like that that are printed, like you print COVID-19 on it, sell them for $5 at the door and have your own smash party.
Oh yes. My gosh, that will be
done,
so fun.
Done deal. You're invited. You're
definitely
you're invited.
That'd be awesome.
Great idea.
So my last official question on the docket here is, what advice would you have for, you know, somebody that's just getting into the music career?
So a couple things, I guess. If you're it depends on where you're at. If you're just getting into music career and you know you want to make it a career, I would say the first thing is you definitely want to allow yourself to be open to criticism, which is super difficult for anyone, and then especially artists. And when you're talking about your art and your self-expression, it can be really painful. But I think that it is stifling to be stubborn, especially right away when there's so much to learn. And, you know, being able to revise your own work and, you know, look at it from an outside perspective helps so much when, you know, ultimately what we're trying to do is connect with people and, you know, have them hear it and get something out of it. And sometimes you need to get outside yourself a little bit to do that. So being able to take that and just like know that you're honing your craft and it's okay, you know, that you make revisions and like maybe listen to some advice from some people, and then also just collaborate for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. John, do you have any advice?
I would have to say this is something I got to give Nikki credit, more something that she has done along the way too, but just starting independent, like Photoshop or not, like what
yeah,
is
Adobe, what's, Premiere.
Adobe Premiere and making the cover art is what I'm trying to say. What's the name of that program?
Yes. Yeah, that's it. That's
okay.
What we use.
Learning all of the stuff with the cover art and the editing of the videos that we do and just the running of the Pro Tools and all the behind the scenes stuff that people are out there trying to do.
Like social media. Like there's a lot more to your music career, especially at first, than just being good at like playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, unfortunately.
There's a whole lot of other work that needs to be done.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of people out there who say they're willing to do it who might not do what you want them to do.
Or you'd have to pay them, and like that's kind of hard to do, especially at first. So
it's great to learn how to do all those things on your own.
Yeah.
I think that helps get you a lot further, a lot quicker.
Right on. Sure. Cool. Well, I mean, do you guys have social medias or website that the listeners can go and follow along with you?
Yes, we do. HookedToLikeHelen.com is our website. And that's my like self-promotion voice. It goes up like. and we are on all like the main social medias, like Facebook, Instagram is my personal favorite, Twitter. We just got a TikTok, but we do not know how to use it and could definitely use some help. If anybody wants to tell me what the heck is going on there, that'd be awesome. And our music, we're on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, all of that stuff.
Cool. Well, you know, I'm going to put links for all that, especially your website, in the description of the podcast so the listeners can just kind of click on it and run with it.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah. Nice and easy. But I just want to say thank you so very, very much for coming on the show today and talking to me and just having some laughs. I've really had a blast talking to you both.
Us too. Thank you.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to say thank you to all the listeners who tuned in to check this out. You're all beautiful and great people. Stay safe, stay healthy out there. Please, please, please keep listening, keep clicking the likes, the links, and follow along on Hooked Like Helen's social medias. You're not going to want to miss all the good stuff that's coming up and coming out. And who knows, maybe you'll see a Smash Party in the future. But thank you. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all next time.
Yes, thank you guys so much for listening. We're Hooked Like Helen, and watch High Strung Free Dance on Netflix now.
Oh, now that was an awesome interview. Thanks so much for listening. You all are so great. And don't forget to head to Facebook, Insta, and Twitter and follow The Leo Effects. If you want to hear some comedy and ridiculous voices, check out Shattered Dungeons on YouTube and all other places podcasts can be heard. And you'll hear me voicing crazy characters, usually pretty terribly. So thank you so much. You all are the absolute best. And we will see you all on the next episode.